Well, welcome to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Glad to be with you on this Tuesday, September 24th. So we continue our discussion on marriage today. We'll continue to talk about the gift of marriage and how God works in marriage, how God uses marriage, and is marriage changing? What does it look like in the future? As we'll get into that discussion with Dr. Peter Scher here in just a moment. I want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. If you'd like to find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin, just go to our website. Go to KFUO.org, go to the sponsors section, and click on the CUW logo. That'll take you to the Concordia University, Wisconsin website, and you can find out all about Concordia University, Wisconsin, and what they have to offer, including their accelerated adult education centers around the country, right here in St. Louis and around the country. So, thanks so much to Concordia University, Wisconsin. If you'd like to join the conversation today as we talk about marriage, you can do so by calling us in the studio at 314-821-0850. If you're in the St. Louis area, outside of St. Louis, you can call us at 1-800-730-2727, or you can send an email to family@kfuo.org. So it's time to get into our discussion. I want to say welcome to our guest this morning, Reverend Dr. Peter Scher, Associate Professor of Exegetical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne. Welcome, Dr. Scher.
Hey, great to be with you.
Glad to have you with us this morning. And you have an upcoming seminar, I believe, that's coming up pretty soon on this Saturday, correct?
That's right.
It's the Love and Marriage, the Changing Landscape of American Culture, and that'll be at, it's sponsored by the Greater Grand Rapids, Michigan Chapter of Lutherans for Life. That'll be at Grace Lutheran in Wyoming, Michigan, and this Saturday from 9 to 3, and we can talk more about that and how folks can get connected with that later on in the show, but looking forward to talking about this topic of marriage with you, particularly the changing landscape of marriage. So before we even get into that, though, let's talk about your background. You're a professor at Concordia Theological Seminary. Tell us a little bit more about yourself. I know many of our listeners know who you are, but for those of us who don't know much about you, tell us a little bit about your history.
Sure, I'd love to. I've been here at the seminary in Fort Wayne for, I guess this is my 13th year, so it's quite some time. And I'm blessed with a wife and three children myself. And before that, I was a pastor in Arcadia, north of Indianapolis. And it was really as a pastor that I first started to kind of get interested in the pro-life movement. And there it was at a local crisis kind of pregnancy center, which offered positive hope for women who were, you know, in difficulty. And since I've come here to these topics have been on my mind now for quite some time. Part of that, I suppose, is an occupational hazard. I teach New Testament here. So reading the Gospels and Christ's love for children and reading about what Christ has to say about marriage has certainly inspired me, I think. And I've been blessed to be part of a couple of groups here in Fort Wayne that have just been wonderful. One is Allen County Right to Life. I'm the president of that group. Not in any way, I suppose, we have some very powerful leaders who really do the work. But also, I'm a member of this group called Shepherds United, which is an ecumenical group, which is dealing not simply with the pro-life issue, but also with marriage and religious freedom. So the ideas of, I guess, the pro-life and marriage and the gift of children, they've certainly, all of these things have been circulating in my head now for the last few years.
So you have studied marriage from the scriptures, and you have experienced marriage here in the earthly sense. What is the history of marriage as an exegetical, as a professor of exegetical theology? What is the history of marriage?
Well, marriage is in the foundation of who we are as man and woman. I think we're created in the image of God. We know from Genesis, the first chapter, and we're saying God created them in his own image, but also male and female he created them. And part of the Christian understanding of marriage is the recognition that we are different, that men and women, and I suppose also, and this is kind of interesting today, as there's so much gender confusion and about gender identity, well, it's not incidental to who we are. We are created men and women. And so it's written into Adam, and the story of creation is a beautiful story because we learn that in chapter 2 exactly how this beautiful creation came into being. And it came into being when God created Adam. He saw that it was not good for him to be alone. And so he created for him a suitable helper. Now, this, of course, we hear the story about how Eve was created from the side of Adam. So it's in Adam, he looks at Eve and he says, "Surely this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." Which is a beautiful picture, I think, of the unity of our race. I mean, sometimes we talk about there was a book in the past that said men are from Mars and women are from Venus because we're different kinds of creatures. Well, yes and no. There's a wonderful unity that the Scripture paints of men and women too, that we're good for one another, that we bring different things to the table when it comes to our complementary humanity. So it's written into creation, and talking about creation, this is how creation continues today, that every gift, every child is a gift from God, and is a retelling of that Genesis story, where the man and the woman unite in a beautiful way, and they two together, what they could not have done alone. So a man can't create and a woman can't create, but together, through what God has done, children are brought into the world. And from that union then, that union then is marriage, in which not only children are brought into the world, but then they're also given a father and a mother to care for them.
So marriage is the foundation or the structure, the institution or structure for society and culture.
Yeah, I think as Christians we need to be bold about this and say, of course we do have an allegiance to the government and we have allegiance to all of the structures of society, but family does come first. It's from the ground up. It's the very essence of who we are as human beings. And it begins with God's own plan and God's own wonderful design. We're not an accident. We didn't get here by accident. And again, in the birth of every child, it's almost like we're going back to the book of Genesis, and we see God's goodness as creator, that God is a good God who loves his creation and has designed us specially. And I think, you know, we can celebrate this fact, I think, that I always say only a woman can be a mother. There's a certain things that mothers do, and they do so well, and only a man truly can be a father, and that a child thrives, does best, when he has both the love and care and nurture of a mother, but also the leadership of a good, godly father. So now, talking about what happened in our society, I think with all the changes we have as Christians, we have a lot to own up to ourselves, because we live in a divorce culture, but we're part of it. The Christians have no reason to be boastful or prideful about our own living, because our divorce rates here in the Christian circles and churches are just as high as they are in the world. So we don't come, I think, as moral teachers telling the world that they're wrong and we're right. I think we come as fallen sinners who recognize that maybe we've lost our way and we need to think again about what life's about.
We've become a culture of divorce. Are there other things, other significant changes that have happened, that have occurred throughout history, that have affected marriage?
Well, I mean, this is something, and it has to be handled very lightly, and we have to think about it. But I also think that we live in an age of contraception now, where it's I have no great teaching against it. As Lutherans, we don't have a teaching per se that contraception is a bad thing or the pill is a bad thing. On the other hand, we should recognize what we've gotten ourselves into, because we not only live in a divorce culture, and maybe in some areas actually we're getting better on that, but we also live in a culture in which there's just a lot of sex and outside of marriage and premarital sex, and it's considered to be nothing at all. And we know that, and I don't come as a moral scold, But it has ramifications on our society, and it has it is destructive. So I think in many ways, we have a lot to repent of ourselves. I know as a pastor, and I know pastors who tell me, it's very infrequent now that they'll have a couple that comes to them that's not already actually living together. And again, I say this not in a moralistic way, but in a way that maybe we haven't recognized the sanctity of marriage and the grace that's given in marriage and the bond of love that's there. And we tell ourselves, we turn sex, I think, into simply, I think it's simply another vehicle of pleasure, which, of course, there is pleasure, and that's a great joy. But apart from God's design, it brings a lot of destruction, a lot of broken hearts, and, of course, a lot of children who either have no fathers or children, of course, it's one of the reasons the abortion industry is thriving in our land, because children are not being brought into this world where there is a mother and a father. So, I mean, there's a lot here on the table.
How have we gotten to this point?
Well, you know, that's a great question. I think we could, in my own opinion, I think a lot of this goes back to Margaret Sanger, who is the founder of Planned Parenthood. I think it goes to our sexualization of almost everything, and it's certainly the pervasiveness of the kind of mass culture that we find, you know, that is so readily accessible, that's formed the minds of our people. And I know I'm part of this because I love a lot of these TV shows, and I watch them. I'm not Amish when it comes to these things. I'm not trying to say I'm only going to watch Christian TV shows. But every once in a while, you step back from it and you say, wow, look at the kind of assumptions that are made by these shows. Mm-hmm. And it does have a way of affecting you. What was considered to be perhaps scandalous is simply now the norm. And so we're living in an increasingly secular culture, a culture that probably doesn't know God, but also is even, I think what we're finding now, it's becoming openly hostile. Mm-hmm. So I think a number of things have happened. I think the mass media, television, but I also think the promiscuity that grew out of the 60s sexual revolution, which was really enabled by the pill. And this is not to say that the use of the pill is necessarily evil, but we need to be cognizant of that fact, is that that is what made sex outside of marriage at least possible without having ramifications for it. And then if that doesn't work, as Planned Parenthood, they sell the contraceptive, but they know that doesn't work 100% in any way. And they know people will make mistakes, and if that doesn't work, then there's the abortion industry. So it's a daunting task we face, and again, it's not really, when I say these things, it's not as an indictment to the world, but really I say it as a Christian to Christians, to recognize the world that we live in, that we need to, you know, step back sometimes and say, how much have I actually fallen into the world's way of thinking and made the world's way of thinking my own? And, you know, it's easy to be taken aback and say, so it's always, it's not just shining a light on dark society, but it's taking a hard look at ourselves in the mirror and recognizing that, you know, often we're part of the problem.
It's very easy in our society to become jaded and to fit right in with society and to accept or adopt the things of this world. Has man played God too much, especially when it comes to the matters of marriage and family and children?
Well, you know, I suppose that's a really good question. It does remind me a little bit of when I think of the largest abortion provider in the nation is Planned Parenthood. And there is something presumptuous about that, as if somehow I am the author of creation, and if somehow children are something that I have produced or I have made, when instead of thinking about children as gifts from God. And I also, I suppose, thinking about our bodies, it's startling to read. I mean, it's the, what helps us, I think, is simply reading the scriptures to recapture a different vision about who we are. So we look at Genesis. I did not create myself, but God wonderfully designed me. And then I look at I look in the New Testament, and St. Paul can say that his body is a temple of the Holy Spirit where Christ dwells. And I can look to the body of Christ himself who took on our flesh. Part of this is, in some ways, we've made ourselves God, but this is like, but by doing so, this is the ironic thing that Paul talks about in Romans chapter 1. As we make idols, as we seek to be God, we actually fall further into the depths so that we lower ourselves. And, you know, when I look at this, like this, I don't even know if you call it the MTV culture anymore, but maybe the Kardashian culture or the culture of fame, that it's really kind of sad that I think a lot of our youth, a lot of our young people want to have fame. They want to be known. But they do it in such a way that actually makes them lower. And I think part of this is we need to talk about the dignity of man, that we are created in God's image, male and female, that we have lives worth living, that we are special because God loves us. And so we should walk around, I think, with a certain air that, you know, that we are important, that we're not simply animals, that we didn't descend from the apes, but we are created by God who loves us. So, yes, it's when we put God, when we recognize who God is in Christ and he is our Lord, that actually elevates us, because we remember that our Lord took upon himself human flesh and became man. So we have a dignity. And as Christians, we have a higher calling. We have a baptismal calling. We are baptized into Christ. So, yeah, I think in some ways we fooled ourselves, I think, by thinking we are in control of all things. Mm-hmm. But in another way, I think we've lowered ourselves.
That sounds like a good point to take a quick break, and we'll take a caller here when we come back from the break in just a minute, and continue this discussion on love and marriage and the changing landscape in American culture. So stick around for more right here on Faith and Family.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of Inspiration in Action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
I love elephants, maybe because they're such social animals with genuine emotions. A baby elephant born recently in a Chinese zoo was rejected by his mother. At first, zoo workers thought the mother elephant stepped on him by accident. But when she did it again, they saved the baby by putting him in another enclosure. The little elephant was so distraught, he cried for 5 hours, huddled under a blanket. He was absolutely inconsolable. Media from around the world, so moved by his situation, talked about the poor little guy. I was sad too, but it reminded me of something even sadder. The millions of unborn babies who will never know their moms who rejected them. Tragically, there was no one, like the zoo workers, who could intervene and save their lives.
Life Issues. Stay informed. More informed than you've ever been.
Hi, I'm Randy Asbury, host of His Time. Why should you listen to His Time? Because we help you make your day holy with the Word of God and prayer. We keep time with the church year and all courtesy of Treasury of Daily Prayer. And we discuss all kinds of things important to you and your faith and your life. We even have morning prayer every morning.
Weekday mornings beginning at 7 a.m. on KFUO. Becoming a worldwide KFUO Day sponsor is easy in the 21st century. First, pick a reason to celebrate, a birthday, an anniversary, or other event, and call me, Mary Schmidt, or Joni Harwell at 1-800-844-0524. For helping support the worldwide outreach of KFUO, you'll receive announcements on KFUO for a special date honoring your day sponsorship. Call us at 1-800-844-0524.
Christian students nationwide are planning to get up early tomorrow for an annual event called See You at the Pole.
Young people from all over the nation will be gathering at their schools before classes begin on Wednesday this week, praying for themselves, praying for the school, praying for their friends, praying for their community and our country.
National coordinator Doug Clark says the gatherings are student-led and take place outside of class time, but praying publicly can still be hard.
Yeah, it does take some courage to stand for your faith, but I want to point out that See You at the Pole is not a demonstration. It's really a time to gather.
Clark says See You at the Pole produces benefits that last throughout the school year.
Students that are involved in all different churches and backgrounds, they come together here at the beginning of the school year. It can be a very uniting time when they come together as what really is the body of Christ on the campus. And it can be a launching pad for other kinds of ministry that happen during the school year.
He says between 1 million and 2 million students participate each year on the fourth Wednesday in September. I'm Steve Coleman.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates, and today we are talking with Reverend Dr. Peter Scare about love and marriage and how it's changing in American culture. And before we get back into, to get back into our discussion, I want to go to our caller, Cheryl in Indianapolis. Welcome, Cheryl.
Hi, thank you. You were talking about where did this all come from, what happened to marriage, and all I could think of was Genesis 3, and the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit of the tree, and I ate. And you know, what God did about it was he took the woman out of the man's rib to make him a helper. Well, he pierced his own son's side on the cross, and that was the birth of the church, the Jesus bride, the church. So God took care of it.
So there's a connection. Is there a connection between God creating man's wife from Adam's side, and then also Jesus' pure side to reconcile the church?
Uh huh.
Dr. Scare?
I think that's beautiful, and I think one thing that you caught us on is, you know, I was talking about the pill and, you know, things that have been part of our own society. It is also true, as you say in Genesis chapter 3, with sin, that the world has been dysfunctional ever since sin entered into the world, since the days of Adam and Eve. I mean, I'm sure they were good parents, but they also raised Cain, who was a murderer. So sin and death have been among us, have been part of our what it means to be human, or at least the fallen humanity, until Christ came to redeem us and to bring was the firstborn of a new creation. And you're right, deeply within this is one thing I think when we talk about, you know, marriage, and we're talking first and foremost, when we talk about it, we're talking about how we are created in God's image, but we're also talking about the image of God, the express image of God, who is Christ himself. And when we confess marriage, when we preach marriage, we are also preaching the greater reality, which is Christ's love for his church. And there is something poignant, and it is a kind of a, you know, the gospel is also a new Genesis. Matthew calls his gospel, he says, this is the book of Genesis. And the gospel of John begins in a kind of Genesis way. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And there is a kind of a creation story that's taking place. I think your caller's right, I forget your name, but from the side of Adam, Eve came, and there's a kind of a unity there in creation. And I think that's what John is doing too on the cross, is that from the side of Christ's flow, water and blood, and there is a kind of this is what gives birth to the church. And there's also in there just the love of Christ as the groom. Christ has come to win for himself the bride, which is his church. And to do so, he's going to have to make a sacrificial payment. He's going to have to pay with his own life. His blood will have to be shed in order to cleanse us from our sins. So, yeah, I think this story of marriage is written into creation and in the new creation, which is the salvation that we have in Christ. So I think that's a beautiful point to make.
Thanks for your insight, Cheryl.
Uh-huh.
Thank you. In your opinion, Dr. Scheer, what does the future of marriage look like in American culture? Is it on the verge of extinction?
Well, this is I tend to be getting more pessimistic, and I suppose I shouldn't, in the sense that God can do great things, but things do look dire. I think there are a couple things. I don't know whether the institution can be saved in our society, but I don't have any kind of knowledge from God on that. On the other hand, you can see things are moving very quickly when it comes to this whole the gay marriage movement. I don't even think 3 years ago the landscape looked to me completely different, and now what I fear the most, I suppose, and I suppose again I shouldn't fear because I put my trust in God. But I'm most concerned for our own people, because I find that many of our people, certainly the young, but I think across the board, have kind of fallen for the world's way of thinking when it comes to marriage, and certainly when it comes to the homosexual marriage. And I think there's a kind of a tolerance or a spirit of tolerance that no longer, but it's a spirit of tolerance which no longer holds the words of Christ to be true or normative. So what I really do, I'm praying for the faith of our own people first, we need to get into the scriptures, we need to look at the story, we need to look at what Christ himself says about marriage. And I tell people who are struggling, or, you know, they say, well, maybe the world is right about this, maybe this one man, one woman isn't really the only way to go, I say, just hold off a little bit. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus, and let's see what he has to say before you simply go with the way of the world. What we've seen in Northern Europe, in places where, let's say, the gay marriage is already the law of the land, we've seen marriage disintegrating even further, and that people are not even, it hasn't strengthened marriage. In fact, fewer and fewer people are bothering to get married. So, and this goes to, it's like part of this is, you know, marriage and children are an expression of the Christian faith in a certain way. Some people make themselves eunuchs for the sake of the kingdom of God. They don't get married because they want to keep completely their focus on doing the work of Christ, and that's fine. But the very gift of marriage and of children is a positive outlook for the future, saying, yes, this is a good world that our Lord has created, and there is hope. I mean, I think with so many people in our society, they've lost hope. They can't think beyond the next generation. Is it really worth it that children would be born into this world? And as Christians, we say yes, because this is a world redeemed by Christ in which our future is eternal. So I guess before I start preaching to the world, I would like to encourage our own people to remain true to the word and to discover it again, because when they do, they're going to rediscover who they are in Christ, as those who have been created and redeemed by his precious blood. And it's a new outlook. It's an outlook which the world so desperately needs. And we have that message to share.
In those other cultures and societies where marriage has progressively changed, you know, in our culture, we've certainly broadened the definition of marriage by making it disposable, so easily disposable. You know, divorce is really looked upon fairly lightly in our culture in North America today, and in most of Western society, I think divorce is regarded pretty lightly. You know, if you don't like this marriage, it's okay. It's not forever. You can get a divorce, and that doesn't mean that you can't be married again in our culture. And I'm guessing that's what's happened in other cultures that have now so widely accepted, as you said, gay marriage. What's the next step after that? You said that marriage is in those cultures where gay marriage is widely accepted, marriage in general is just not valued.
Well, it not only is marriage not valued, children aren't valued. And at least we find in the advanced stages a kind of atrophy, and a kind of it's a kind of a sterility. It's an amazing world which we live in this sense. Our culture is so sexualized. Everything, every TV show, its sex is permeates everything. And yet, even as we've become this kind of culture, we've also become sterile, which is to say, children are not held to be as great of a gift from God, and we're not even, I mean, the demographics are kind of stark already in Europe, and in America, we are not reproducing ourselves, I find it interesting, even in my own experiences with people who were, I'm 47, but people who are maybe 10 and 15 and 20 years younger than me, I'm surprised at how many people now have no thought about raising children at all. I mean, that used to be a kind of thought thing that was a part of the next stage of life. Let's have a family.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it was in Time magazine only maybe a month ago in which the cover story was like married, happily married with no kids, something like that. So we have different values now. And I think when you look at what society is, there's a kind of hollowness to it all. Because I think sex has lost its kind of sacred nature, but as has marriage. But with that is not, I don't think there's been more joy in life. There's a kind of a lack and loss of hope.
So we
offer a gospel that actually ennobles this.
If marriage is no longer about family and raising the next generation, raising kids or raising children, then what is marriage? What is the purpose of marriage then today?
Well, I mean, this is one thing. It's interesting. It becomes a contract, and it becomes a kind of a legal thing where it is a profession of love one for another. But this is an interesting thing because as a pastor, when I was serving in the congregation, I would be asked sometimes to renew wedding vows, and that was kind of the thing. I don't know if people are doing it a lot now. And I didn't really think much of it, and I did it for friends. But I'm not so sure now if I did the right thing in this sense. What we need to teach our people is that marriage is a gift from God, and that marriage depends not so much on our vows, as sacred as they are for one another, but it depends upon Christ, God, who brings together the man and the woman and makes them one. Because when I look at a lot of divorce situations, they're concentrating on their own will. They're concentrating, they'll say, well, I'm not sure I really love her, and I don't think she loves me. And once you start going into that kind of spiral, marriage is always a difficult thing. No matter, the very best of marriages are difficult. They're hard work. And there has to be a lot of forgiveness. But underneath that, too, is the recognition that as Christians we have to hold on to this, is that the reason I'm with this woman and she's with me is because God has brought us together. And this is the message of Genesis. It's also the message that Jesus himself, I mean, Jesus speaks about marriage in this way. What God has joined together, let not man separate or put asunder. So, yeah, we have to think about this. Every difficulty is an opportunity for us to go back. On the positive side, every difficulty is an opportunity for us to go back into God's Word and to reassess and also to revitalize our own faith by, I mean, we can look at something anew. We can see it and say, yeah, we've kind of forgotten about to look. We need to look at it in a different way. And that can be very invigorating and also very freeing.
We're talking with Reverend Dr. Peter Scare of the Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, discussing love and marriage, the changing landscape of American culture, and the upcoming seminar this weekend that he'll be presenting at. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can do so. Call us here in the studio at St. Louis at 314-821-0850. Outside of St. Louis, 1-800-730-2727, or you can send us an email to family@kfuo.org. Dr. Scare, what should Christians do? What should they be working to do to preserve marriage?
Well, I guess the first one, we should say we should all repent and see our own place in this, and we should all, you know, pray to God and then love our wives. That's the first thing.
Mm-hmm.
Take care of our own homes. The other thing is, I think it is good for Christians to stand in the public square still, that we have a. And I speak about marriage when I do. I do it in a couple of different contexts. When I'm among Christians, I lay out for them the book of Genesis, and I take them to Mark chapter 10 and talk about what Jesus says about marriage, and I talk to them about Christ's love for the church in Ephesians 5 as a groom. So I think the one thing is to get back into the Scriptures, because the world is always speaking to us. The world is always trying to change our minds. I go on the internet every day, and a different vision of marriage is placed before our eyes. So part of it is, I think, going back to the Scriptures. But I think also we need to educate ourselves on how God is the God of creation, how and why God created marriage the way that it is, so that we are able to speak publicly with our friends and be proud of, you know, this, that marriage is an institution which has spanned the centuries. It is the foundation of society, and I think we need to say in a positive way it's good for children. So I think we need to, I find many Christians are bashful, and they think, well, marriage is simply, that's a Christian issue. Well, it is a Christian issue, but it's also a societal issue, and we should recognize the reason that marriage is there. And the great blessings that it brings with it. So I think a lot of it is going to, I think a lot of it is we need to be preaching this from the pulpit and teaching our people. And I say we should be out there, and we should talk to people and let them know, yeah, marriage is something worth preserving. I know in the state of Illinois, they fought off a same-sex marriage amendment, and here in Indiana we're fighting, so I'm going to still fight the good fight. It's really, we're working on all cylinders. As Christians, we need to proclaim the gospel of Christ, who is the groom who loves the church. And in the world, we need to say marriage is a good institution, and it makes for better lives, and it's good for children.
In a world that says, oh, you're just a bunch of Bible-thumping, archaic-thinking, religious freaks,
yeah.
what do we do or say in response to that when talking about marriage?
Well, I think we need to, those of us who can, I think, need to educate ourselves. We need to read, and we need to study. We need to do our homework. And there is a marvelous book, and I don't know, it's a thin book. It only has maybe 130 pages, something like that. It's called What is Marriage? Man and Woman, a Defense. And it's written by the primary author, the one people may know, is a person by the name of Robert George, and he is a professor at Princeton University. Now, what's wonderful about this book is that it speaks for 130 pages about marriage. Not once, though, does it mention the Bible. Not once does it mention any particularly religious reasons why society should hold on to marriage and to its definition. So I think what we need to be able to speak, I think, both biblically to our fellow Christians to give an answer, reason for the hope that is within us, but we also need to think together about what role marriage plays in society, what good comes from it. And this can be done, but I'm afraid if we don't do that, I think many of our, and I think our young people need this desperately, because they will come to think of it simply as a sectarian issue, an issue of a religious in nature that has no ramifications for society. So there are books, people are writing, and I think we need to do some reading on our own.
We actually are working on lining up Dr. George as a guest for the program. He was recently a speaker at the Doxology workshop on the Insight workshop on same-sex marriage and same-sex attraction, and I've heard nothing but great responses and feedback on that workshop.
Well, he's glorious, and the other person that since if you don't want to read, like, you know, that's not your thing. A person by the name of Ryan Anderson is a co-author, and I would invite people simply to go to YouTube and look up Ryan Anderson, talk about, he's done this in public forums where he's been under the gun, under great attack, and he's spoken about marriage beautifully and eloquently, again in hostile situations, without ever saying, this, you know, this is what the Lord says on the topic. He simply talks about why it is good for society. So it's very helpful to have people like that that we can learn from and we can emulate. I mean, many of us are still struggling to find the language. So I know many Christians who they kind of know what's the right thing, but they're almost afraid to say anything because they'll be ostracized or they won't say it right. Well, I guess in that sense, a little preparation can go a long way to developing our confidence as we go and we speak to, I mean, when I say speak in the public square, I mean simply to, you know, being able to talk to our fellow, you know, workers at the office or the people where, you know, our co-workers or our neighbors and say, yeah, well, I'm supporting this marriage amendment or I think it's a man and a woman and I can tell you why. If we can do that, then we embolden our people. So, and I think a lot of this can happen at the congregational level and certainly it can happen with what you're doing and bringing people like Robert George, you will do a great service, I think, for Christians.
And speaking of opportunities to study, to learn, to talk with fellow Christians about this very topic, I want to talk about your upcoming seminar this Saturday at Grace Lutheran Church in Wyoming, Michigan. The seminar is called Love and Marriage, the Changing Landscape of American Culture, and it's sponsored by the Greater Grand Rapids, Michigan Chapter of Lutherans for Life. This Saturday from 9 to 3, if you're interested in attending the seminar this weekend, you can contact Grace Lutheran Church in their office. The phone number is 616-534-0805, or you can email them gracelc.office@gmail.com. Dr. Scare, what will you be covering in this? Obviously, we've covered a lot of it today, but give us an idea of what the seminar will look like and what someone might walk away with.
Well, I think the way I'm going to approach it is I ran across a Reader's Digest. I don't know if anybody knows that old magazine, still out, I guess, from the year 1966, May of 1966. And I purchased it at a garage sale because I thought, oh, I'll have a Reader's Digest from the month I was born. And it was on my shelf for a long time, and I never really looked at it. And then it just happened to, maybe it was a year or two ago, I looked at the content of it, and one of the articles at that time was, Let's Talk About Abortion. And it was written by Lawrence Lader, who was one of the founders of the abortion movement here in America. So I guess I like to talk a little bit in a personal way about how the abortion mentality came into our culture and how it came through, I think, Margaret Sanger and Planned Parenthood. And the same arguments that were used for the pill were then taken up by those who were promoting abortion. But then I would like to talk about, in both these cases, how they marginalized children and made children into something of our own creation, not as gifts from God. And then I'll talk about how marriage began to disintegrate or was already disintegrating because of this attitude. And then I suppose I'll talk about, I will talk about then how then this has seeped over finally after, after years of high divorce rate and of people sleeping apart from marriage, being together, this has led naturally into the situation that we are now. So it'll be a little history, a little some reminiscing, a little talk about Margaret Sanger, but then also I will go through the biblical passages, take you through Genesis and take you through what our Lord surprisingly says about marriage. So, and I think that all plenty to say in those 4 hours. I'm really looking forward to it.
Excellent, excellent. So a great opportunity for study, a little bit of time for fellowship. It starts at 9 a.m. with a break for lunch at noon and then ends at 3 p.m. There's no charge. There is a free will offering that will be received for the Grand Rapids Pregnancy Resource Center and for Cradles of Grace. Registration is not required, but certainly appreciated so that the folks at Grace can have an idea of how many folks are coming and give them a chance to prepare for lunch and those types of things. So again, if you're interested in attending the Love and Marriage, the Changing Landscape of American Culture seminar this weekend at Grace Lutheran Church in Wyoming, Michigan, you can give them a call at 616-534-0805 or email them at gracelc.office@gmail.com. Dr. Scare, with about a minute left, any final thoughts as we go our way today?
I guess I would say with all of these things, I recognize that a lot of people are struggling and know that we speak from a standpoint of love and of mercy and of forgiveness, that we many of us come from fallen homes. Many of us have been divorced. Many of us, God is a God who salvages messy situations. This is not simply about imposing a law. It's simply rediscovering together God's way of life. And I say this as an open invitation to society, and to also to know that when you come to the church, there's grace and there's mercy and there's forgiveness in Christ. So these are difficult issues to talk about, but in Christ we have confidence.
Amen to that. Well, thank you, Dr. Scare, for spending some time with us today to talk about love and marriage. We appreciate your time.
It was my pleasure.
All right. God's blessings. Tomorrow on Faith and Family, we'll talk about finding God in the hard places in marriage and parenting. Can God take a difficult situation or those 2 a.m. diaper changes and use them for our good? We'll talk with Jill Hastett, Director of Family Ministry at Zion Lutheran Church in Belleville, Illinois tomorrow about looking for God in the hard places in marriage and parenting. Looking forward to that. Coming up next right here on Worldwide KFUO, Moments of Assurance